Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Good morning, Calvary. I'm Susan McDonald. I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and I also happen to be married to our lead pastor, Steve McDonald. We've been married for 30 wonderful and adventurous years. I am also proud mom to two sons, Zach and Ty, and daughter to Bev and Jerry Kendrick, who I think are watching today from Halifax. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, because today is Mother's Day. So we want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our Calvary moms. And if you are a mom visiting with us today, we're so glad to have you today. And we recognize that Mother's Day is sometimes hard for different people for varying reasons. So we're still glad that you are joining us and that we will keep you in prayer. It's a day to honor your mom, your stepmom, your grandmother, whoever the mother figure is in your life. So if you haven't already done something special for them, please remember to do something today. And kids, right now, if you're watching and you haven't done anything, you might want to run across the room right now and hug your mom and tell her you love her. Being a mom is very rewarding and wonderful, but it's not easy. You have been entrusted by God with very precious gifts, and you need to be strong every day and do the very best you can do with what you have. You are often putting aside your own fear or anxiety to show up with a calm presence for your family, even if that means taking a few minutes to hide in a closet just to get yourself a break. Life's very crazy right now, especially for moms who have young kids or teens, because suddenly you have your children home with you full time. And guess what? You get to be the distance learning manager. You get to be the hairdresser, the chef, the fitness instructor, tech support, the entertainment director, and so on and so forth. So we give you a high five, and if you are an essential worker, then you get a double high five from us today. So before we jump into our message, we're just going to take a minute and check out some videos that are going to say Happy Mother's Day to all our moms today. This is episode 2 of our May series, Still the Church. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about Still in Unity, how we find our identity not specifically as church attenders, but as children of God anywhere we are. We are fit together as the church for his purpose. We are Calvary, your church, anywhere. When we read the scriptures, we know that God wants us to truly experience his presence on a daily basis. So this week's message is simply called Still in God's Presence. Now, a big way that we're communicating with each other right now is through an online conferencing tool called Zoom, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. We're using it here at the church for our staff meetings. We're using it for our small groups, and I know that kids even know how to use it now because they are using it to connect with their teachers and their classmates through school. Now, when I was a child, Zoom was also a word that we used. But it just meant to go fast, like I'm zooming down the street on my bike. It was also one of my favorite kids' TV shows. It was called Zoom, and it came out in 1972. I know, there's a gasp in the audience from the children. 1972? She's really old. Well, we did have electricity, we had running water, we had television, but no, we didn't have internet, and we didn't have YouTube, so okay. It was ancient of days. But the 1970s were a part of our history, and I'm sure you've all heard about it. And you've probably heard about a defining feature of that time as well. But if you're young, you probably think it was just a myth or some kind of urban legend. But I'm here to tell you that it's true because I lived it. So the 1970s were the decade where the kids ran free. What does that mean? That means after school or on a Saturday morning, the parents would open the door and the kids would very happily run outside and they would play all day, come back once in a while, forage for food, go back out again, and then come back. When the street lights came on, that was the universal sign for children to return home. Where we went and what we did was a mystery to our parents. But didn't the parents care? Were they not concerned? Did they not love their children? Of course they did. It was just a different time. And as kids, we knew it was relatively safe. We knew where home was, and we knew our parents cared about us. This is like God a little bit right now. We have been let out of the church to find our way in the world. God is like a parent, but even greater, as his presence is actually with us wherever we go. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, if you read the Amplified Version, it actually says strong and confident and courageous. And so when I was praying about this scripture, I feel like the Lord was telling me, he kind of said, do you notice that in the scripture it doesn't say that there's nothing potentially to be frightened of or nothing to be dismayed about? Because of course there is. But we can overcome those emotions and carry on in spite of them because God gives us strength, confidence, and courage. Joshua had to lead the people of Israel into the promised land with this scripture as his foundation, as there were many years of battles and trials to come. Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven in Matthew 28:20, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age," meaning he would send the Holy Spirit to be with us and be our guide. The story of Scripture begins and ends with the presence of God. With that in mind, here are four simple, utterly ordinary, yet very profound, back-to-basics ways in which we can enjoy the presence of God every day. So firstly, we need to recognize that we are always in the presence of God. Psalms 139:7-10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will hold me." Now, the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and the most common Hebrew term for presence was panim, which can also be translated face, implying a close and personal encounter with the Lord. Psalms 24:6 states, "This is a generation that seeks God's face." Now, parents, have you ever stumbled across your kids doing something unexplained and mischievous, and you've said, "Hey, what's the big idea?" Well, I recently read an article called "What's the Big Idea of the Christian Life?" What is the overarching ultimate goal of Christianity? The answer is coram Deo, a Latin phrase which literally means before God. For Christians throughout history, that phrase has been used to describe a life that is lived before God, in constant awareness of his presence and seeking to experience communion with him, not just at church or in dedicated times of prayer, although those are really important, but as you go throughout your day. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We need to understand that whatever we are doing and wherever we are doing it, we are acting under the gaze of God, because God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. To be aware of the presence of God is also to be acutely aware of his sovereignty. Now, this doesn't mean that you're submitting because you're motivated out of fear, like a child is afraid to get in trouble with their parent. It involves recognizing that there's no higher goal than honoring God. Our lives are to be offered in a spirit of adoration and gratitude to our Lord. To live all of life before the face of God is to live a life of integrity. It brings a life of wholeness that finds its unity and consistency in the majesty of God, rather than a fragmented life that is marked by inconsistency, confusion, conflict, and chaos. The Christian who compartmentalizes his or her life into two sections of the spiritual and the non-spiritual has actually failed to grasp the big idea. The big idea is that all of life is spiritual or none of it is. This means that if a person fulfills his vocation as a teacher or an attorney, a store clerk or a homemaker, coram Deo, then that person is acting every bit as spiritually or God-honoring as, say, a pastor or a missionary. It means that David honored God when he obeyed God's call to be a shepherd, as much as he was honoring God when he was anointed to be king. When I became a believer at the age of 11, I discovered that I could be in a personal relationship with Jesus every day of my life. That as Christians, we weren't supposed to live one way on Sunday and differently the rest of the week. That spirituality was not just for church. It was for every moment of every day. I didn't have to be satisfied with secondhand knowledge from the minister at church. The greater abundant life was in being in God's actual presence all the time, wherever I was. Now, I was a preschool teacher for 27 years, and at the last school that I worked, every winter we would do a month where we would teach the kids about artists. And so what we would do is we would get these, you know, copies of these great masterpieces, and we would put them on the wall, and the children could go around and look at them and vote for their favorites. And one of the ones that, two of the ones that I had were Renoir's Country Dance and City Dance. Now, I do love dance art, but I wouldn't at that point have said, oh, those are two of my favorite works of art. Just happened to be ones that I had. And so about 3 years ago, Stephen and I got to go to Paris, which was exciting. And we went to the D'Orsay Museum. And we were wandering all around. And I wasn't thinking, oh my goodness, I get to see these paintings. I have to be honest and say I didn't even know they were there. And then we stumbled into this room, and there they were, Country Dance and City Dance. And they were displayed separately on their own wall, and I was stunned. They were so amazingly beautiful. So many things about, I couldn't believe it. Like, first of all, they're life-size. I don't know if you knew that, but they are actual life-size paintings, and they are displayed next to each other so that you can compare and contrast them. The colors are amazing. They're just so vibrant. I think the paintings are 137 years old, and the paint to me still looked like it was wet. Like, it's still fresh and vibrant. The look on the face of the one lady dancing was just amazing. There's this hat that's come off this guy's head and fallen on the floor, and you can almost imagine that it's just come off. I couldn't believe, like, just looking at them, that being in the presence of the original works of art was such a different experience than my secondhand knowledge. And in this season of Back to Basics, we are reminded that we need to be in God's presence for firsthand personal knowledge of the Master's greatness, to be in awe, living an inspiring, vibrant, and abundant life, and getting fresh interaction with our great God every day, face to face. It is a life that is open before God, that functions the same way in church and out of church. It is a life in which all that is done to the Lord. Recently, to our Calvary slogan that we put on a lot of our social media that says loving God and loving people, we've added loving life. When we enjoy our family, nature, a good meal, and laughter, God is there with us. He is happy to see us living his abundant life. Secondly, we experience the presence of God through Scripture. Now, a few months ago, wanting everyone to be very healthy, I stocked up on vitamins, particularly vitamin C and vitamin D. So there's actually a magnet on our fridge that says vitamins. Instead of hiding them away in the cupboard, they're on a table right in the kitchen where everyone can see them. I drive everybody crazy because I'll text them vitamins, or if I'm taking some, I'll go around and shake them into people's hands and make them take them. You know, I just want everyone to be healthy. And reading the Bible or the Word of God is a lot like taking vitamins. You can do it every day, and even though you don't necessarily feel the difference in a day, it is making you healthy and strong. Don't wait until something happens to fill your heart with the Word of God. And read all of it. So some scriptures are so good and so encouraging and so empowering, like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those scriptures taste really good going down, like those chewable vitamin C tablets that I bought. I could eat those like candy. I eat way too many of them in a day. Then there's the tasteless vitamin C ones that you have to swallow with water, and if you chew them, it's actually pretty harsh. So then there's verses like James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Some scriptures convict and expose those areas of our life that need change, but God is present in all of them, and all of them are necessary for a healthy spiritual life. Just as the presence of God hovered over the waters in Genesis 1, so the presence of God hovers over the pages of Scripture. The Bible is no ordinary book and no mere collection of words and pages. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us that the Word of God is alive. And it says, for the word of God is living and active, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we open the pages of Scripture, we are encountering the living, active, speaking God. It is no safe thing to open the Bible. You never know how God will meet you as you pore over his word. He may convict you of sin and ask you to repent. He may strengthen and encourage you in your soul. He may prompt you to pray for a friend. He may cause you to worship, and he might just let you sit back and relax in awe and rest. Every time we open the Bible, we are encountering the presence of God in a unique and powerful way. We are foolish to try to experience the presence of God elsewhere if we're not consistently immersing ourselves in the Word of God. The third way we can experience the presence of God is through prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Consider for a minute the glorious nature of prayer. God, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the one who keeps the planets in orbits and atoms from splitting, allows us to speak directly to him. And he actually wants us to ask him for things. It's very mind-boggling. God wants us to open our hearts before him, to bring him our burdens, and to request big things. And this is not a mere calming exercise, like journaling or talking through problems with friends, even though those things are good. When we pray, God actually does stuff. The presence of God suddenly inhabits all the big and little details of our lives. He lifts our burdens and gives us peace. He empowers us to overcome our sin. He heals the sick. He saves the rebel and takes hold of the wanderer. He provides for our needs and he frees people from addictions. And when we are lonely, he is our friend. When we pray, God takes action. When we pray, God is brought into the account. And when that happens, there's no such thing as impossible. When God enters the equation, the normal laws of nature go out the window. If we want to connect with God on a daily basis, it's as simple as praying. Prayer is saying to God, "Please come and invade the details of my day. I'm not sufficient on my own, but you are." And the final way that we can experience the presence of God through other believers is Matthew 18:20. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you." In other words, Jesus himself is uniquely present wherever Christians gather in his name. Your Zoom small group meeting, God is present. The Sunday service online gathering and live chat, Jesus is there. You and a friend getting coffee together, Jesus will join you. Eating a meal and hanging out with your family at home, yes, the Holy Spirit is at the table. I take Matthew 18:20 to mean that God manifests in a unique way when believers gather. God does something special when we pray and sing and serve together. I think this is why the author of Hebrews says, "Not neglecting to meet together is as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The reason we shouldn't neglect to meet is that it is one of the ways that God preserves us to the end. That's a really good motivation to stay close to other Christians. Right now, we are physically distancing, but not relationally distancing, and God does not quarantine and distance himself ever. We are still in God's presence, even when we are not gathering in buildings, we are still the church. God is not out there somewhere. If we are in Christ, God truly is within us, and we have access to him at all times through Christ our mediator. Isn't that, SGN, staggeringly good news? The presence of God is not walled off, not locked up in the church, or accessible only to a few people. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We can commune with God wherever we are in any circumstance. Now, there's some of you out there right now who might be saying, the presence of God every day, that seems a little strange. Can I say that experiencing the presence of God is never weird? Now, don't get me wrong, there will be times when it will be supernatural, when God answers prayers in ways that are humanly impossible, when he reveals himself through a particular passage of scripture, or when indeed we actually do witness a miracle. However, most of the time, our experience of God's presence will be very ordinary. I mean, as if meeting with God is ordinary. And if you consider sunrises, flowers, and a sky full of stars ordinary, but you get what I'm saying. This should be a profound encouragement to all of us. We don't need to work ourselves up into an emotional state to experience God. We have access to his glorious presence all the time. What a privilege. Would you like to experience the true, genuine, personal, and saving presence of God? Now, I know lots of you watching today already have, and that's so wonderful, but maybe you were invited by someone else today. Maybe you stumbled upon us somehow. You saw an ad, you stumbled on our website. And you would love to know that. You would love to have the presence of God with you every day, especially in this time that we're in right now when we really need the courage and the strength of the Lord. You want to be able to walk in His presence every day of your life here on earth, but also for eternity. So I would encourage you today, if you would like to receive Jesus into your life, if you would like to ask God to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and be with you all the time, every day, I would just encourage you right now, there's a button on the screen that says click to raise your hand, something like that. Or if you're watching on demand later and that's not on there, you can just raise your hand at home because God sees you. Psalms tell us that when God's face shines on us, we will be saved, delivered, and restored. The extraordinary God is running after you today, calling you into His presence, calling you to come home. If you're a parent today and you are thinking maybe of one of your kids who needs to experience or re-experience the life-changing power of God, why don't you raise your hand too? And we'll include them in this prayer. So let's pray. You can just, if you're at home, you can just repeat after me. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you give us courage and strength and confidence. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and to come into our heart, to be our Lord and Savior, that we can start a new life in you, that we would experience you every day, Lord. Pray that you would walk with us and talk with us. Help us to read the Bible, Lord, to get to know you better. Help us to tell other people about you. We think specifically for parents today that are thinking of their kids, of their children. We sang a few songs today, Lord, about that you run after us and that your favor is upon us and that you are for us. And so we believe that your Holy Spirit would just draw those kids, those adults home again, and that they would come again to serve you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, have a wonderful Mother's Day. Remember, if you haven't done something already to celebrate your mom, make sure you get something in there today.